Welcome to this presentation from the Downey Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are located in the greater Los Angeles area at 9820 Lakewood Boulevard in Downey, California. We would love to have you worship with us any Saturday you are in our area.
Good morning. What a year. Are some of you breathing a sigh of relief? Or are some of you sad that the year is closing? I have mixed feelings, to be honest. I'm so grateful this year is almost over. So grateful. And yet there's some things that I've experienced this last year. How many of you experienced growth this year? How many of you were uncomfortable this year? How many of you had to make decisions you were not sure of the outcome this year? And despite all of that, and especially I thank God for this community. I saw God moving in this congregation like I've never seen a congregation before. There's a lot that happened this year, and some of that we're going to talk about. I'd like, though, to kind of review what happened. What are some of the things that we learned? So, just wondering, can we pull our, there we go. Beginning of the year, we started with a series called Keep the Rubber Side Down. Some of you were wondering, like, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor, if you weren't here? Well, some of you may not know that I love to ride bicycles, and there's a saying that we have, you always keep the rubber side down, i.e. the wheel on the ground. Otherwise, if the wheel's not on the ground, what could happen? You crash. Unless, of course, you're trying to hit a sick jump, okay? But, yeah, there's a saying, especially when, you know, you're going 20, 30, 40 miles down the road, you want to be going, making sure that the wheel is intact, being rooted in Christ. We talked about how Christ was the hub, that little piece in the middle of the wheel that everything is centered around. And then, of course, the spokes, we being the extension of Christ to the world, to the rim. The church cannot move unless it's connected to Christ. And, of course, we're called to meet, to greet, to share, that the church can move forward. The next month, we talked about loving your neighbor. We're called to go and share the gospel? Yes, absolutely. And so, of course, we talked about how we're not only called to go, but to love well, to do well, to go forth. And sometimes, one of the things that we learned is sometimes meeting your neighbors can be uncomfortable. Some of them, they just may not want to get to know you because they just, maybe they hate people, period. All right? How many of you have a member, a neighbor in your neighborhood that just doesn't want to talk to anybody? Now, it's funny enough, this last week, oh, I hear some chuckling. So this last week, my wonderful wife, of course, made some goodies that we gave out to our neighbors. There's one particular neighbor who's kind of just been really prickly is a way of putting it. And getting to know this individual has had a challenging couple of years, let's just put it that way. But as soon as I gave the cookies, this was Christmas Eve. We were headed to go to a Christmas gathering, and this individual was driving, backing out of the garage and leaving, and said, "Your wife has the best cookies." And she was super appreciative. And from there, was able to start and have conversation. Finally learned this individual's name after living there for 5 or 6 years. And so, yeah, loving your neighbor, it's not always easy. It's always sometimes going to be comfortable, but there are people who are in need. The next month, we talked about living in an upside-down world, where we talked about the Beatitudes. Some of Jesus' sayings just if you don't look past the superficial, could sound really strange. Blessed are the meek, the poor, the peacemakers, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who mourn. Does Jesus want us to be sad? No. Jesus wants to understand that in our state, we need God because we cannot do it on our own. Blessed are the pure in heart, and happy are the peacemakers. I don't want to be a peacemaker. I want revenge. And yet Jesus says, no, blessed are or happy are peacemakers. And then I think one of the last most challenging ones was, blessed or happy are those who were persecuted. Oh, sometimes when I hear somebody say, I'm glad and willing to be persecuted, and that's kind of for me a red flag. It's like, well, what do you mean by that? The next month in May, we had a series on discipleship, not a spectator sport. Y'all remember wearing your jerseys? All right, bless you. You know, the question that we asked is, who do you represent? Do you represent yourself, or is God in the picture? Do you represent Jesus? And when you represent Jesus, is it a good representation of Jesus? And yet also, are you committed to the team? There are some fan bases out there that just go beyond, they just defy expectations when they've never won a championship, and yet they are still loyal and faithful. They're willing to spend time to build up a museum in their home. And yet, do we have the same love and expectation that we put into our relationship and share with Jesus? Taking people, let's go to the ball game, can be scary. And yet, when we're called to share Jesus with others, it could be one of the most gratifying things we could ever do. Why do we love our teams? Why do we love Jesus? And I think one of the last things that we talked about, are you a player or are you a seat warmer? Everybody can give their opinion, but when you're actually in the game and you're trying to play the basketball, are you really concerned about what people are saying? Unless you're Shaq and you have big signs, you know, pointed at you that you can't make a free throw. And of course, he defied their expectations back in the early 2000s by making his free throws. Are you in the game? Are you just being a bench warmer? And obviously, we're called to be in the game. The next month, we talked about rags and riches. Jesus didn't call us to be a Scrooge to keep every single dime. God called us to go forth and to share what we have. Because if we put everything into greed, if we put everything into gaining and consuming, what is it all? Because at the end of the day, it's nothing. Money will wither away. It'll be spent. And also, is God always first in your life? Again, talking about who are you loyal to? Don't worry. Be faithful. And then I believe it was in July, we talked about the many fundamentals. We talked about various things. We talked about the Sabbath where, hey, you need to have a break. How many of you are grateful and appreciative that God tells us to go take a nap on the Sabbath? How many of you, I'm now at the point where I need a nap, and it's awesome. Even if it's just a little power nap, a 5 to 10 minute power nap, oh, it is good, right? And we need a regular time to rest rhythmically, at least once a week. We also talked about, who's Ellen White and why was she important? Pioneer, author, grievously misunderstood at times, and also her writings, to be honest, were taken and used and abused. We have to understand her role, and it was an important role that she played, but understanding from a positive, healthy perspective. As we continued on, we went through some unsung heroes. How many of you appreciated hearing about characters? How many of you had some of the characters that we talked about? How many of you have maybe never heard of some of them? Did you learn any new characters? Okay, one, two, oh, come on. Three, four, okay, now we're getting more honest. We talked about many characters. Ebed-Melech, for instance. Who's Ebed-Melech? He helped Jeremiah, right? Important for them to be able to, it's important that we know that these people were ordinary people, and yet God somehow used them in a very powerful way, much like God can do in our very own lives. We may not be an Ebed-Melech or a Tabitha or a Doris or whoever, but yet God can still use us to make a difference in people's lives. Recently, in our last small group, we talked about living a life of significance. Have you ever wondered, is my life worthy? Am I making a difference? Is it valuable? And of course, to have that, you have to have purpose. And God calls us to a purpose to go and share the good news with others, but also to help fulfill what he had been called to do, was to go and share the good news with those who are blind, who are weak, who need healing, who need hope, who are searching for significance. To do so as well as to recognize that we are significant in God's eyes, as we learned in the parable of the prodigal son, and also that which is also most important in the lesson of the lost sheep and also the lost coin. But just as important as we realize we are to God, we also need to have the same love for others, as best exemplified in the older brother in the prodigal son's story. And also managing that which God gives to us well. And then finally, recently, this last month in December, we've been talking about the mixtape series. Songs that maybe we've sung for our whole lives and didn't truly understand what the meaning was. I hope and pray that it was something that was a blessing in your lives. Certainly learning some of the songs, their interesting beginnings. One of the songs wasn't even written by a Christian. And yet, God used somebody to be able to bring this message, a message of hope. God can use anyone to further God's message. So, where does that leave us? What else can we take away from 2023? Anybody want to guess how much money we've spent on this building, this campus? 100,000?
113,000?
Shh. I already told her. We've spent over $113,000 in our building fund on this campus. Praise the Lord. And you know what that means? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you faithful donors who believe in the mission of this church. Thank you. I don't know the exact numbers of how much was given this year. It was a lot, though. A lot of money. And as well, we had some help from some angel donors as well who refused to be publicly named, but thank you. You know who you are. But a lot has happened. We fixed the roof. We had to fix a number of the fascia boards around the church. As you know, there was a lot of just water dripping through. And I was tearing my hair out. We need to get this fixed. And you all heard the call and you were faithful. So thank you, thank you, thank you. There's many things we also, as you can probably tell out front, we painted in a number of areas. Unfortunately, some individuals who care so much about the our church's well-being, they threw rocks at some windows. We had to replace a few windows this year. And many other things. We've seen some new carpet as well in some of our classrooms. Unfortunately, we unexpectedly had a little mini flood in the cradle room, which extended to other classrooms. And praise the Lord, by God's providence and your generosity as well, we were able to easily take care of that. And as well, we have new carpet in our youth room, many, many other things. Unfortunately, that's not going to be the end of all of the stuff that we need to take care of. As you know, you open up new things, somehow tend to pop up. We'll be sharing some of those things early next year. This building is God's house. And we have to take care of it. Much like in our own homes, sometimes you have to replace the roof. Sometimes you got to put some new paint on. Sometimes you have to get a new garbage disposal unit. It takes time. But nothing as big as the roof. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. But there are many things that we need to take care of. And so as we continue, please continue to continue giving. But the work is, I mean, it feels like it's never going to end. That's what I've learned. but yet, God is faithful and will supply. But I've also seen our church in a way grow together. And this is what I have also learned. When there is a challenge, when there is hardship, it brings people together. When you suffer together, you grow together. Is that not true? Especially, I hope, in your own families, when you realize, hey, we're not going to be able to do this and this because of these reasons, but yet at the same time, too, in the end, it's going to be a better situation. That I saw evident, and I saw God's leading and providence in this last year. But as we head into 2024, what are some things as well that we plan on doing? Number one, I'm just going to break it to you. We're going to do mission. And I'm making a proclamation. I haven't told anybody about this. I haven't even told Bill. But my friends, our mission. Last year was taking care of the building here, and that needed to be done. In the last couple of years, we talked about who we are, but we're still even working on that. But now, Lisa and I have been here 4.5 years. It's time to move forward and go into the community. We have to practically live our mission out here beyond these walls. And I know we're doing that in our homes and our work, but especially now, Downey needs to know that Downey Church loves them. Amen? Amen. How we do that, we're going to work together on that. But this is something that going into 2024, we have to be a people that is practically living the gospel out in Downey, California. Amen? Amen. Now, what are some things perhaps, Pastor Chris, that we're going to be talking about in next year? What are we going to be learning? Just a brief overview. Next month, as Vaughn and Mark pointed out, we're starting a new series called Better. Better choices. How many of you would like to make better choices? Every day. How many of you want better relationships in your lives? How to be a better witness? How to make better decisions? Okay, better priorities. All of these things are important. And then February, we're going to talk about relationships because, you know, it's February. It's love. Discipleship is going to be the emphasis of March. And then our first small group series is going to be talking about the names of God. Anybody know how many names describe God in the Bible? A lot. And we're only going to hit a tiny little percentage of that, okay? But that's going to take up most of April and May. June, we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of how Jesus is represented in each of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we're going to do a little bit of mini fundamentals here and there. And then the big one of the year, which I'm both excited and also petrified, we're going to spend 10 weeks in the book of Daniel. How many of you are ready for that? Oh, I see some of you are very excited. You're already clapping. And we're going to come from the perspective of how God's character is revealed in the book of Daniel. Are you excited about that? All right, there's a lot. And I'm telling you right now, we're not going to hit everything, okay? I know some of you are going to be happy. Some of you are going to be upset. Pastor, you didn't get everything. There's only so much I can do. I have to have a balanced perspective here. Amen? So, just warning you, okay? We can't do everything. And then right after that, we're going to talk about the book of Job. Oh, two heavy, very heavy books. So, but Daniel is a book of hope, and believe it or not, Job is as well. Doesn't seem like it on a surface level, but there is hope in Job. And then, of course, we'll round out Christmas. We have a few ideas. It's not completely, fully mapped out, but for the most part, the here almost every week is accounted for. Amen? Now, moving forward, as we press forward going into 2024, Ian Simpkins shared something with me. There are three times in Jesus' life where he was wrapped around with a cloth. The first one, anybody know? When he was born, Luke 2. In John 13 as well, when he wrapped himself with a towel to do what? To wash his feet, as if we have just symbolically done earlier as well. Jesus, Son of God, King of the universe, humbled himself and wrapped himself and washed his disciples' feet. Much to probably the chagrin of the disciples. Hey, you don't need to do that. I'm okay. And when Jesus says, no, this is important. He's like, well, don't just wash my feet. Wash my head and everything. No, feet are fine. And then the last time, what was the third time? At his death. Mark 15, verse 42 says, it was preparation day. That is the day before the Sabbath. And so as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. He had to confirm. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. And so Joseph brought some linen cloth, good cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. And there he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where he was laid. And within these three instances of Jesus being wrapped with a cloth or a towel, linen, it shows, number one, that in the first account, in Luke 2, Jesus' presence was here on earth as evidence in his birth. But not only was his presence, but he also went and served the second time when he wrapped himself with a cloth. And then the third time, he died for us. And I'd like to, in some way, going into 2024, share that same perspective of being a presence in the community, in my family, and in my friends, but also going forth and serving others. And in the last part, though I may not die, it may sometimes take sacrifice. And I hope that these three things, presence, service, and sacrifice, are something that we as a community in 2024 live and embody, that others may know the love of God better. Amen? Amen.